Welcome to the 3 o'clock Million Dollar Movie, Houston's greatest movie showcase. This afternoon, a big game hunter searches for a rare breed of wildcat in the Malayan jungle. Robert Mitchum and Elsa Martinelli star in Rampage.
Awesome vacation.
Highly
recommended.
Are you being sarcastic or legit?
It was great.
Okay, no, good.
Our vacation was fucking great. It was fantastic.
Where'd you go again?
We went to an all-inclusive adults-only resort in Cancun. It was the flight to Cancun, it's like an hour and 45 minutes in the air.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you exactly, because when you get to Cancun, it's just like nonstop people trying to fucking sell you timeshares and get you to take their taxi service because it's cheaper, blah, blah, blah. Well, they have free concierge. Dude, they fucking pick you up in like a loaded Expedition or Suburban, and you were the only ones in the car. They don't pack you in with a bunch of other people, so it's literally like they show you where to go to find their people. Their people just literally take you to their driver. He's got the AC cranked up as high as it'll fucking go. They drive you 20 minutes down the road to the resort. They take your bags, and then when you show up, they hand you two glasses of champagne and then check your bag, and then everything is fucking free for the rest of the time you're there. Like all the food, all the liquor, all the drinks. I mean, you tip the people helping you, you know, a couple bucks or whatever, but the gluttony is just outrageous. And then so we would just post up at the Lazy River. And once you've posted up in a spot, they have waiters that will work that area and take drink orders. Dude, as soon as you start feeding them a couple bucks, those dudes are there every 15 minutes, dropping a drink off and taking another drink order. You make another lap of the river, and as soon as you get back, your new drinks are there and they're picking up your old drinks. Like, it's just, and you tell them how much alcohol you want in it. If you're saying they're not strong enough, they'll just tell the bartender and they'll make them stronger for you. Or the hack we were reading afterwards, after fact, we found this Facebook group of people that go to this particular resort, and they were like, just take a water bottle, fill it up with the liquor, because you know they have this like a full bottle of vodka, full bottle of tequila, there's full bottles in there, and it's everything, even in the mini bar, is included. So they're like, just crack the top on the mini bar, fill up a water bottle with it, and take a sip of your drink, and if it's not enough, pour some vodka in it. It's like, oh, okay, that's the easier way to do it. You probably should have done that. Or you just order straight liquor and they just go get you straight liquor on ice or whatever and bring it to you. Like, it's ridiculous, and everyone is so insanely friendly and nice, as that you just stuff your face. You can literally go, they have like seven restaurants. You can go to one restaurant and order an appetizer and then get an entree and try it. And if you don't like it, you just go to the next restaurant and get whatever you want there. And if you're still hungry, you just go to the next restaurant and walk in and order an appetizer and dessert. Like, and then later on, while the shows are going on, they got a taco truck that opens up and you can go get some tacos from the fucking taco truck. Like, it's absurd. It's just ridiculous. We easily got our money's worth in just alcohol alone. Anyway, it was great. It was cool.
Sounds awesome. That's basically the exact opposite of our Cancun experience, but also we were on that assembly belt of go to these particular shops in this particular area that's all pumping money into the cruise line. So yeah, my Cancun sucked, but relatively, I mean, the dolphins and shit was cool, but like the actual like eating and drinking and stuff is like, yeah, no, that was we ended up getting in a fight over eating in Cancun. So it's like your experience sounds way better.
We did none of that shit, and it does take you have to kind of find what restaurants are better than others, right? And although the buffet was pretty good, some of the shit on the buffet is not good. You just have to find the stuff that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But once you find the spots that are good, you just continue to go to those places, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's an Italian place that's fucking off. Like we got a pizza there, we ordered a meat lover's pizza and it had like chopped up hot dogs on it and stuff. It was it was so bad, dude. And they made it in like a wood-fired stove that's built into one of the bars. Mm-hmm. Like it looks so cool and the dude's making the pizza fresh, and this thing comes out and it just sucks, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, that's why everybody says don't go to any of the Italian food, because I guarantee you the pizzas at the Italian joint are exactly the same, right? So you just don't go.
Right.
You go to one of the other millions fucking places, dude. The only other thing I was really disappointed with, the Tom Kha soup at the Asian place. I was throwing a Hail Mary to expect the Tom Kha soup in Cancun to be good. and it was not great. But then I just didn't eat it. Like a beef udon noodle thing, it was fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Their shrimp fried rice was amazing. I got the nigiri and some sushi. It was top notch, all really, really good. And then you find out the whole other half of their Asian restaurant, there's a hibachi hibachi, and you have to place a reservation for the hibachi. So you can technically go to that restaurant twice and get two totally different menus.
Mm.
It was, I mean, like, we could easily go again and probably eat almost nothing we had before. Oh, dude, and they have a French restaurant. The French onion soup was incredible. Like, I'm not even a huge French onion soup guy, and it was absolutely amazing. We were sad our last night they weren't open that night. Otherwise, we were going to go in and just get the soup and then go somewhere else for dinner. But no, we had a great time. It was awesome.
Glad to hear. Really glad to hear that.
And we just did nothing.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, do you have any, are you going to go, you know, dive at the cenotes or what? And we're like, no, we don't want to do any of that shit.
This is the adult cruise. We're cruising adults, cruising for booze, cruising for relaxation.
No, there's no cruise. We're at a resort. We're going nowhere.
Right.
We're walking from our room to the pool, and then we may go to the beach for a little bit and not even get in the water, just lay out and then go back to the lazy river and just go around circles like it as they continue to just bring us glass after glass of alcohol. Yeah. Next time we go, we may do a couple excursions, but it's just not anything we wanted to do this time. So we were happy we didn't do that. So anyway, good times. But now got to go back to work tomorrow. Fucking sucks.
But can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
I'm not too loud or anything?
No.
Cool. All right. What about you, man?
No, just same old.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're pretty ready to go then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you want to send us in?
No, I'll let y'all send
Well, you know what I mean. Like,
I'm going over my notes.
Yeah. Matt.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Marvel
Studios. Oh, hey, wait. Sorry, I didn't mean to stop you like that, but I just realized I didn't hit record on the Skype, and I was going to do that once we started talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Let me do that right quick. Where is your record button? There you are. Okay, now we're good. Go ahead.
Frank just loves showing off his little library of books.
I love having a library. I love having all those bookshelves full of cool-ass books.
I still can't believe you put the fucking floppies up and down, though, like that.
Yeah, I don't like boxes. I got so tired of boxes, man.
It just looks so weird. Have you seen it?
But I'm telling you, that was my childhood dream. When I was a kid, and my uncle that gave me all those Jim Starlin comic books, the Warlocks and Strange Tales and shit, we went to a buddy's of his house. He's probably scoring some pot or something while we were there. But all along the guy's walls, he had these shelves, and it was LPs and comic books. And I think they were in bags and boards. I don't remember for sure, though, because bags boards, this is, you know, 80s, late 70s, so I'm not sure how much we were still figuring out what bags and boards were going to be, you know. Yeah. So, but I think that were in bags and they were shelved, and so I finally have the dream that guy was living in the 70s. And plus, I fucking hate comic book boxes. I think,
but how do you know what's what?
It's alphabetized. Now, I need to put some dividers up, and also I still have them sorted out by companies and shit, and it's a little hard to figure out, okay, well, this is on this shelf and that kind of shit. I'm still working out the finer points of it, but I still love it way more than fucking I hated the fucking houses. The boxes never fit right in those fucking houses. Yeah. And I'd have them stack up against the wall. They look fucking hideous. They get dirty so quickly. It's fucking brown, white cardboard. So any marks on them is immediately apparent. I did buy some of those illustrated comic boxes with and those are pretty, but they're shorter. They fuck you because they make it a smaller box. So you get less comic books in them. And then they're still having to be stackable because you have to put them in the houses. And so they're getting rubbed raw by the houses and they don't fit right in the houses. Fucking hate boxes, man. And part of it goes back to just my retailer days. All those fucking boxes all the time, have to lift them up and throw them across rooms and all that bullshit. Just sick the fucking death of that stuff.
I know a guy who's really big into graded books. So, dude, he had slabs and slabs. And
God, could you imagine that life? What a fucking horror show that would be.
For to move a box?
Yeah.
It was heavy as shit.
I'm sure.
And he's like, and all you hear is clack, 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 clack. And I'm like, what are you? He's like, I'm trying to find that one issue to show. And I'm just like, it just seems so cumbersome. And just,
well, that, and what are you looking for it for? Because you can't ever read the goddamn thing.
Oh, no. They're sealed up. Like,
yeah, they're sealed up tight.
He had some good shit, like real old stuff that's in those, I guess the locked ones that you can't open.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, I mean, the whole point is to turn it into an artifact of value.
Yeah.
Or something to brag about. And that's why.
Oh, no, he was definitely bragging. He was definitely trying to flex.
And definitely what's happened, because I was having this conversation online recently with some folk where they didn't realize, or some of them did, some of them backed me up, but it's like, I was talking about how the market is not back issues anymore. If you go to a comic shop, more and more often you're seeing almost everything being liquidated for a dollar or less because all anybody wants is the key issues. They put the key issues in a slab. They put that on the wall. I want the first Deadpool. I want the first Rocket Raccoon. I want the first black costume Spider-Man, and I will pay you hundreds of dollars for it. I'll put that on my wall and I'll fucking brag about it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I agree with you that it's definitely, like, I know someone who's, I guess it's a friend. He's into graded video games, and I was just like,
no wonder.
Yeah. Dude, he swears up and down his collection's worth a lot. I'm just like, to who? Like, maybe to another collector, but I wouldn't pay. It's a fucking plastic cartridge in a box. Yes, it's an N64 Star Fox. That's pretty cool. But I don't give a shit. Like, it doesn't mean that much. So, yeah, I just thought it was weird. But he was showing off his... I mean, he did have some cool... He had some really old Iron Man stuff. I guess he was trying to find his early Hulk stuff to show me. That was just so fucking cumbersome, man.
To me, it's just the ultimate manifestation of the mentality that drove me out of comics retailing in the first place. I've always been a reader. And as I've gotten older, I want to take better care of my comic books, but I want them to look nice when I take them out and read them. I want them to look nice on my bookshelf, but they're still books. And like, I don't put most of my trades and shit aren't in bags and boards and shit. They're on a bookshelf because they're nice, fat, thick. They don't need a board. And if they get dusty, they get dusty. I'm going to die and then somebody's going to get them or not. You know, no, I'm not collecting
them. I like mine in bags. Just... Understood.
I know, and I've seen that. Yeah, I've actually had to retrieve some of my books from you, and they were in bags. It's like, I didn't put this in a bag. You put this in a bag. So I wanted them to be look as nice as possible. I don't want a bunch of fucking water damaged books and shit, you know. But you know, they're still books. Mm-hmm. But these are guys where they were the guys who would be knocking on my fucking door Wednesday morning. Sometimes they're trying to get in the shop before the goddamn UPS truck has shown up.
Dude, I was there with you.
And they want me to pull out all the copies so they can examine each fucking copy.
I know who you're talking
and
about.
Find the exact I most know perfect. Who you're I know about. You know who I'm talking about.
I was there with
Ponytail Boy. Yeah.
No, the tall, skinny fuck who bought three copies of everything.
He had a ponytail, didn't he?
No.
He didn't have a ponytail?
Okay. I couldn't stand that fucking dude, man. Yeah. He just got on my fucking nerve. Yeah. I remember because I went to Chick-fil-A and got us breakfast. And we're sitting there eating breakfast. And he was at the door before the shop even opened.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just there. I think I was off. Like, I was going to school.
It would also suck, too, is this one thing when if you got somebody who's coming in spending money to make that worthwhile, he bought like a comic or a few comics, a couple or three. And this is back when comics cost a couple of bucks, $2.50 at most.
I thought he bought like three copies of everything.
No, you're thinking of a couple of other people. And those were guys where they wanted good copies, but they bought too many fucking comic books to examine them like that. You know, they would buy a box of comics a week.
Dude, I remember he was in the shop one day and he was like,
if he did, he bought three copies of a Spider-Man comic book. Okay. And then that would be it.
Because I just remember he was like examining them like
I said, he bought like three books. Well, they might have been the same comic book, but he only bought three comic books. And it's like, I mean, that ain't paying my fucking bills, man.
Because I agree with you. Like I went to a shop not too long ago and they had the first appearance of Punchline.
Right.
They were asking for like $100. I'm like, dude, the book came out like...
Not just that, but that was one of those...
8 months ago?
They were hyping that shit. That character didn't go anywhere.
Really?
That was one of those speculation characters. That's like when DC was...
Well, it's supposed to be Harley Quinn's replacement.
Exactly. And she ain't fucking replaced, is she?
No.
Which Punchline video game have you bought? What movie adaptation? You know, is she going to be in Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League?
Yeah.
Is she going to be in the fucking next Batman movie? No, she ain't fucking shit. That was one of those things where they thought they had a big deal character and she ain't shit. They just were hyping.
I take it back. I made a mistake making fun of your friend with the video games. Because now, physical video games don't exist anymore.
That's like, fair. Like, my girlfriend downloads almost all of her video games.
I bought Forza 5, Forza Horizon 5. There are no physical copies. It is a fully online downloadable game. It's gigs and gigs and gigs. It's got to download. And you got to set that shit off and go do something. You got to go outside like it's the fucking 80s.
Touch grass.
While it's actually downloading. But once it's downloaded, that's it. I can't take the disc and go downstairs and play in the Xbox. Mm. And I can't do that. There's no physical disc.
Mm.
So at some point, maybe now that becomes...
Well, look, okay. Like I was telling Frank, some of them were kind of cool. Like he had a fucking N64 Star Fox. He had some old fucking Nintendo, like Kid Icarus still in the box and stuff. That shit was pretty cool. It was pretty dope. But I'm like, and he's trying to like, well, it's worth this. So I'm like, to who? Like maybe another guy, but I ain't paying that shit. I don't care. Like to store that shit alone. Now he did have some in slabs. Like he had a fucking Mario 3 in a, you know, and it was a great 7.5 because it had a crease, and I'm just like,
but if you've got like the system, why am I talking to this? If you have the system to go with it, like if you've got like a vintage OG Nintendo and then an original Mario 3 game, I could see somebody at some point is gonna at some point that's just not gonna exist.
Dude, I went to my friend, we went to like this video game, they sell like vintage video games, so we're kind of looking around at stuff. He's looked like he was trading some shit. Sitting there bullshitting with the guy. Tell him, oh, you know what? I have my old Game Boy. The original Game Boy. Oh, yeah, no. I said, the cool thing is I still have the original Pokemon Yellow. And I have the Meow. No, is it Meow? No. Fucking some character. The first fucking Pokemon movie came out. And me and Pussycat went to go see it. And if you brought your Game Boy, they would hook it up. And they would drop this Pokemon specifically just for the movie into your Game Boy. And that was the only way you could get it. You actually had to go there, show your ticket, go to the little table. Give them your fucking Game Boy. They would turn it on, plug it, Then they were like, okay.
I'm sure it was Game Boy or Game Boy Advance. No, I don't know if that would be the original, the tan and black Game Boy that Pokemon.
Actually, mine was gray, but yes.
You know what I mean. I mean the color of the screen.
It was green and fucking black.
It was green and black, right?
Yeah. So I remember, so I'm telling that to the guy and he's like, well, how much do you want for it? And I'm like, well, I mean, it's just sitting in my fucking, in my drawer. I actually put the batteries in it just to make sure it still worked. He was, dude, like, salivating. Like, I really like to buy that.
Well, you know how, like, the plastic would turn color? They used to be that light, like a Nintendo was that light. No, gray. And they would, like, turn brown.
So well, usually that's because of light exposure.
So but they've got actually, solutions. Mine is yellowish.
Yeah, they've got solutions now that will, like, take that out and stuff.
Really? Oh, yeah. You can actually remove it after?
Yeah. I think it's basically like bleaching out the UV damage to get it back.
So mine,
I've watched some shitty sucked into some ASMR.
Yeah, it happens where that way sometimes.
They're scrubbing out all the hair.
Well,
in the little
you know some of those are fake though, right?
Yeah, that's true. Some of them are.
Yeah. When you fall asleep with the YouTube going, you get some weird shit coming up.
Oh, but most of the faked ones are like it looks like shit, but they made it look like shit.
Yeah.
An original Nintendo that still exists in 2023 looks like shit. They didn't take a pristine Nintendo and fuck it up on purpose to clean it. They did not do that. That's sort of shit like, I found this Tonka truck and I'm going to restore it. And all they did was they just like sanded the paint off of it, left it outside a couple days, let it rust, and then they just take the rust off.
Yeah.
That's, I think some like...
Well, there was one I saw where they like put peroxide or something on it so it like create artificial rust on it so they can kind of scrub it off, but it doesn't really damage the whatever the metal part is.
No, I don't know.
This is crazy. There's a Salvation Army. I went to go donate a bunch of clothes, right? Just go drop off. You pull off to the side, they take it off your truck. So I pull in. So I'm like, I'm going to walk around. Fuck. At original Nintendos and Segas, like in bundles for like $15. I wanted one, but I already knew my wife would be like, why do we need
Wait,
one?
This was recently?
Yeah. Like, what are we in? April? February. Okay. So apparently, people in that rich area, that's where they donate. And so the guy's like, we get Nintendos all the time. It's not a big deal. I'm like, really?
Let's go. Next time we're there, I want to go look at some stupid shit.
I kind of wish I'd picked it up. It'd have been kind of just neat to, but I don't know where I'm going to fucking put it. I'm starting to think like that too. Yeah. I'm like, anyway.
You're watching 13's 3 o'clock Million Dollar Movie. We'll return after station identification.
Get ready for a great week of comedy on the 3 o'clock Million Dollar Movie. And it all begins January 15th when Gary Coleman is nabbed by the most colorful gang of kidnappers ever to botch a crime. Hold on to your horses. There's only one man that can save Jimmy the Kid.
You cops have no respect for decent women.
Then wheel on over to a wacky wedding in Isle-Take, Sweden. Next, James Coburn and the boys give new meaning to the word war party.
All secure, sir. Good.
Then that bumbling detective is back.
Inspector Clouseau's residence.
There's so many laughs it shouldn't be legal. Peter Sellers stars in A Shot in the Dark. Finally, Bob Hope is connected to a disconnected blonde. And boy, did I get a wrong number.
You freed the slave.
You know, I don't think this is what Lincoln had in mind.
Kooky comedies never before seen on Channel 13. And superstars you won't want to miss. It's a great week of comedy beginning January 15th on the 3 o'clock Million Dollar Movie.
I should start by giving you some context. He stole from her. So she unleashed hell on Earth. So, I built the perfect team. With magic, muscle, and an owlbear.
What's this now?
Trust me, it's great. Now we're the only ones that can save everyone.
That's a lot of pressure.
This is what we do.
Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. Open theaters, March 31st.
Hey, Frank, what's the last movie you saw? Yeah. Was any good? Yeah.
We literally had this conversation over text.
I don't remember. Yeah, because we're supposed to...
What I found most shocking was it had a huge Sam Raimi influence.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm not talking about like...
The crazy camera angle stuff?
Yeah, it's not Multiverse of Madness. I'm talking about like Drag Me to Hell, Evil Dead kind of shit.
So like the camera's...
A lot of moving around. Okay. And yeah, it's very... Cool. And also some surprising...
Yeah, remember, I do like Army of Darkness, so oh, yeah. I like that kooky...
Oh, well, I love him as a director when he was doing the more... dynamic stuff, and I think he came back to that more with Doctor Strange. But he's mentioned in the past is like, look, I'm not riding around a camera mounted on a 2x4 anymore. I can't direct in that way anymore. I've got a budget. I'm going to use it. But yeah, I really enjoyed those techniques he would use, and I think that they were evident in that movie. But also, there are some moments of horror. I don't think that they quite work because they try to do a few jump scares and things, and it's like we were just chuckling a moment ago. You have not built up the tension to pull off a jump scare. Yeah. But there is some imagery that's rather horrific. horrific in the movie. Okay, the villain is fairly intense, and it's like I think that you know that was obviously Raimi as well. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to say they ever go Deadite, but they do some cackling evil horrors type stuff in the midst of that. Yeah,
because I kind of want to go see John Wick 4, and I want to see Mario, but
yeah. The thing is too is like there's a sequence where they're having to dig up graves, and they do like the shovels view as it's going into the ground and shit. So like, yeah, you're gonna really see some Raimiisms there.
So, okay,
yeah,
I'm gonna go check it out then. So I'm trying to find something to go to the movies to go see.
I really wanted to see Cocaine Bear, but I never made it over to that one.
It's already on VOD.
Is it view? Okay, I'll probably stream it soon then. But I wanted to see it in the theater. I wanted it to be a situation where actually in the theater and responding with other people. I feel like that's a good movie to get drunk and be around a bunch of other drunken people and cackle at. But that's not gonna happen because we missed that opportunity. But I'd like to watch it home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I'll watch it at home because I don't have a better option.
So you shitting on the Marvels trailer or what?
I have no real interest in that movie. I mean, let me put it this way. Secret Invasion is going to have to fucking blow me away. And I hope it does. I want it to. The good thing, the stuff that Marvel has got coming, I'm excited about. I want to see Thunderbolts. I'm actually getting excited for Captain America. Because, you remember, I like Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
I didn't love it because I want my Captain America back. But as long as you're telling Captain America stories, and obviously they're setting up Thunderbolts in that.
Yeah.
They brought back fucking Betty, you know? I like that. you're winning me over now. Because, again, it's one of those things that's fucked up. It's like, I'm not going to stop bitching about this. Chadwick Boseman, it's a tragedy. Recast T'Challa, right? But also, William Hurt died, too.
Yeah.
And actually, if I remember correctly, didn't he die more recently than Chadwick Boseman?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they just replaced the shit out of him immediately.
We've had three Thunderbolts now.
Well, technically, Sam Elliott doesn't count. I count him because I still think the Ang Lee movie is part of the continuity.
I count.
I think it's part of the continuity, but most people do not.
And actually, I think out of the three, he was the best.
Agreed. Oh, without a doubt. But we haven't seen Harrison Ford. I don't think he's going to be as good.
Well, I kind of want to see a Red Hulk Harrison Ford.
Sure. But do you think he's going to grow the mustache?
Oh, he has to, dude. That's like...
One would hope, but I haven't seen him.
You have to, dude. You have to have
I haven't seen him with a mustache around, though. I haven't seen any mustache pics of him.
Eh, we'll see.
You better have a mustache.
I am kind of interested for the Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see the Marvels. It looks fun and dumb. It looks like one of those...
Like I said, I couldn't get through Ms. Marvel. I didn't like WandaVision. I liked the Photon actors well enough, but yeah. I'm not going to a movie for Photon, you know? So, and obviously they're going to do the goofy shit because they show you in the trailer Ms. Marvel doing the goofy, Look at Nick Fury! No, that's not my BM. It's not that I won't see it ever, but I'm not running to the fucking movie theater unless kind of a spoiler, so unless the Fury in the Marvels is a Skrull, then I kind of know that Fury's going to come out of that okay. But I'm very interested in seeing Secret Invasion, and we'll see what happens after that.
What about Guardians 3?
I'm all over that shit. I'm going to see that shit.
I'm scared it's going to be just...
It might... you got to understand.
Very scared.
I'm 100% convinced the Warlock's going to fucking suck on that. And that's one of my favorite fucking Marvel characters of all time. One of my favorite comic book characters of all time. I'm confident that's going to fucking suck. But the rest of it looks great. And the Space Hog, they had the Space Hog, so I'm on the hook. And also the fact they're doing the Rocket Raccoon origin.
Yeah.
You know, I bought those comics when I was a kid. It looks like it's going to be really well told. I'm there. I'm 100% there. You know, I love it or hate it, I'm going
to
show up.
Oh, yeah. We definitely have to go to that one.
So the cosmic stuff, with the exception of Captain Marvel, and the more paramilitary, you know, Cap Shield adjacent shit, it's the rest of the stuff I don't give a rat's ass about.
Can we continue this podcast? Okay.
Wednesday afternoon at 3, meet the con artist who has more schemes than a hound has fleas.
You mean the music professor?
Music professor.
And I'm here to organize the River City Boys band.
He goes around selling band instruments by guaranteeing to teach the kids to play.
A man's a by God spellbinder.
Are you a big liar?
Yes.
Can you lead a band?
Robert Fenton, the music man. Wednesday, 3 o'clock, $1 million movie, here on 13.
Are you watching, what else are you watching right now?
I'm actually watching the Night Court reboot.
Okay.
It's not great, but it's serviceable. I have enough nostalgia for that to keep up with it. We got most of the way through that 90s show. Again, that cute nostalgia, not great, not something I'd recommend. I've been meaning to try to start watching Poker Face because I think I've still got free Peacock, like ad-supported Peacock, which I think they got rid of that recently, but I think I might be grandfathered in. So probably the next thing we'll try to watch is Poker Face. But nothing I'm like, oh, you got to watch this, you know? Not in a little while has there been anything where I really thought like I'm watching something that other people need to be watching.
Last of Us is pretty good so far.
Yeah, we like that too. Yeah, we haven't watched one from this last Sunday yet. So we're about to come up to where we have to double up again. But yeah, that's been good. It's been bold. I've respected the choices they've made on that show that I would not have seen coming. I think that they recognize that Walking Dead kind of killed a lot of the momentum of the zombie shit. So they're like, okay, we're gonna have to do some different stuff. It's like, you are. Good job. You know, I don't know where the fuck you're going with this. Good job.
Yeah, I was a little more excited about it when I thought it was just gonna be one season. And now they're like, they've already greenlit a second season. I'm like,
but here's the thing though. Here's the thing. My understanding from people who played the games was that if you're adapting the two games, it's two seasons. So and that's not a surprise based on what they've been saying. It'd be the third season you have to worry about. But the expectation seemed to have been among the gamers, at least, that they were always going to go for about two seasons.
Okay, fair enough.
Also, it's a monster hit, so I'm sure that HBO would like to squeeze a third season, and that's when it's going to get worrisome.
Yeah,
seemingly, when they've gone off book, they've done it smartly, and people really like that. So if you've got people who aren't D.B. Weiss doing it, then maybe it'll work out.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But really, I don't think we're watching fucking... rewatching Walking Dead like on her phone. I'm like, I don't need to do that. So I'm like, you just do that. Like eventually. But then I'll catch an episode, you know, and they're like, the governor's there or whatever. Shane was still in the show. I'm like, oh fuck, this show was actually pretty good for a while, wasn't it? Damn. But then I know you're about to run into some bullshit. So you
can entire second season. It's like I can never rewatch second season, man. That's them hanging out on the farm for, you know, half the season. Fuck that.
Yeah.
And the other problem is because I was reading the comic, you know, as they were going along, I'd already had the basic story from the comics, and then I'm watching the adaptation, so I've already done two passes on that material. So I don't foresee a third pass, you know? I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about rereading the books. I'm not worried about, part of it is because I didn't think it ended particularly well, and it went on for too long, too much bad material. I just lost my taste for it after a while. They should have ended it a lot sooner than they did.
Yeah, totally. Which, I don't know, it's over now, right, or no?
The comic? Oh, yeah.
No, the TV show.
I think it is finally over with, because they had the thing where they dragged out the last season into like two halves and shit. So there might still be like a half season left on it. Maybe. I think maybe. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's over quite yet. They're just spinning it out into you've got the Daryl TV miniseries. You've got the Negan and Glenn's wife Maggie series that's going to be a season. And then they're going to do like a wrap up where they bring back Rick and Michonne. So it's working its way toward an end, but even if the core show is over, you've got these like spinoffs that are going to culminate into the proper ending anyway, so it's not really over yet.
Oh yeah, here's a list of Walking Dead spinoffs: Walking Dead Torn Apart, Walking Dead World Beyond, Walking Dead Dead City, Fear the Walking Dead, which I don't know, Tales of the Walking Dead, and The Walking Dead Red Machete. The fuck is all this shit?
Well, and some of that I don't think is going to come to pass. At the World Beyond, I believe is over now. I believe that wrapped up. Yeah, because they ended that with the revelation of like the super zombies, like the zombies from Zombieland 2, you know, whatever. Only one miniseries, one's probably the other miniseries. They did that one series where it was like an anthology. I don't know if that was one of the ones you mentioned. But the appetite is, you know, it's just not where it was. And there's only, I mean, my understanding, the way that they're talking is that basic cable's dying anyway. And even the streamers are like, you know, figuring out their money because they're realizing they pumped all this money in this shit, that then they're not getting the money back. So AMC is probably not going to exist, you know, in 5 years. So there's only going to be so much Walking Dead that they're going to be willing to pay for. Most everything else they paid for, they're canceling. They got some stuff on AMC Plus, and I think they're supposed to be merging with somebody anyway. I don't remember who they're merging with, but there's only so much more length to play out on that. Just financially, they won't be able to continue to make it anymore after a while.
Yep, sounds about right. There's definitely some sort of streaming network reckoning coming in the next 5-6 years for sure.
I don't think it's going to take 5 years. I think we're already seeing the changes, because some of these streamers, like, again, something like AMC Plus, there's just not enough people to support that. It's not going to survive. Even I think, what was it, Peacock or Paramount? I think it's Paramount Plus and Showtime. It's like the plus is already right there, but they're calling it something like Paramount Plus and Showtime. Oh no, Paramount Plus with Showtime is the name of the new streamer that's coming up. So they're already starting to merge and shit. And again, they're all trying to do the ad-supported tiers. But the problem is there's a lack of ad dollars apparently right now as well, because people are kind of waiting to see where it's going to be most effective. So, you know, and there's layoffs aplenty, you know, almost everybody's laying people off at this point. So, I don't know. I think we're already watching them now.
Yeah. Well, and the sports are going the same thing too. Like, you have all these like blackouts and shit where you can't even, like, if you're a subscriber to MLB TV, you can't watch Astros games in Houston because Houston has its own network and they want you to watch the Houston shit on the Houston channel. You can watch every other game in every other city, but nothing in Houston. And it's like, fucking why? I pay for MLB TV, but now I got to also pay to only watch my home team. So the people are like, well, I'm not going to buy MLB TV because I want to watch my home team. So I'm going to, you know what I mean? And we can only get that bundled on cable. So they've talked about how there's all these reckonings. And so now it's like, if you want to watch a national game, you got to catch the fucking Yankees on Fox again. Well, it's like, what if the Yankees suck? And you already have them on all these games and nobody wants to watch these teams. They want to watch the Astros or some shit. There's like no way to do it. So nobody knows who any of these fucking players are. So now there's talking about how there's all this talking with the owners about how, well, maybe there's something else we got to do. Maybe we need to get rid of this blackout stuff. And which means all these regional networks with all these employees are going to get fucking shit canned or get semi-absorbed and stuff. Like it's all sorts of weird shit's going on. So it extends to sports as well.
Well, and again, part of it too is there's a generation that doesn't really watch this shit anymore. They're wanting to watch TikTok and YouTube videos and shit. They're not even concerned about games or concerned about anything that's on the television or very limited amount of things that they are concerned about. So it's like, it's not just how you get the audience, but whether you even have an audience you get for a lot of this material anymore.
Well, no, well, that's another point too, is that they were talking about how, oh, this is one of the lowest rated World Series ever between the Astros and the Phillies. But then like, it was also, I think it was like the number of people who watched it online, which is different from the actual ratings, was by far the highest it's ever been ever. So people who streamed it was enormous, but all people focused on were the ratings were down. And it's just like, yeah, it's because people are transitioning. They're watching the shit on their phones. You know what I mean? Or they're watching it on a fucking tablet and they're streaming it on a streaming service, on YouTube TV or something like that. But none of that stuff gets captured with the Nielsen numbers. And it's like, people are off. It's these weird like joining of these legacy metrics versus new metrics, and nobody has a fucking clue what they're doing. So it's dumb. All these people are fucking idiots.
Well, and my understanding is the Nielsen's were always a scam. It just was a scam that worked for a while, and now it's not really working that great. And then you also got all these outfits that are trying to figure out how to measure like Netflix when Netflix doesn't give reports, so they're trying to figure out ways of getting around that shit. It's a weird time we're in right now.
Yeah, and they talk about how like people who even do Netflix shit, they don't even tell them how popular it was.
Yeah.
They'll be like, hey, no, it did well. And they're like, what does that mean? And they're like, it did well. Take our word for it. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, that's weird. And so you don't even have like the traditional ways to measure it or anything. Like, it's really fucking bizarre. Even for the people that did it, they don't even know how well it technically did.
One of the metrics that I've heard bandied about is that you need to have 100 million viewing hours within the first like week or the first month. And that's, you know, if you dip below that, then your show gets canceled and they don't renew you. Mm. And very rarely, if you don't reach that particular number, do you get that second season or third season or what have you. And I want to say like some pretty significant shows, I think like maybe even like Sandman might have only gotten like 95, but there's like some kind of incentive for them to go ahead and do another season shit. So it's, but a lot of the shows, they just, you're not making enough money, you're not getting enough eyeballs, you're gone. So like, they've got weird ass internet metrics that don't necessarily make sense and aren't necessarily beneficial to them, because that's one of the things they're talking about too, is just a lot of types of shows just aren't ever going to do that, like sitcoms. But sitcoms also don't cost a lot of money, but you're applying the hour-long drama metrics to the half-hour sitcom, and you know, one's a drama that costs like all kinds of money because you got all these famous actors, and the other thing is an El Cheapo single camera or multi-camera sitcom, and you're treating them both like the same thing, you know.
Just, yeah,
they don't know what they're doing. Nobody knows what they're doing right now.
Yeah it's same way, like they say the same with comedy specials, right? Because for a while their Netflix was like, it's not about getting on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno anymore, it's you got to get a Netflix special. But then these people are like doing these Netflix specials and they don't even know how well they're doing. Like, you know, and they got offered some cheapo rate to do this special, and so a lot of people are like, like, I could have just put the shit up on YouTube and made the ad money from it and made the exact same amount of money, right? Like, and they don't give you any valuable feedback that you can take for the next time you do a special. You know what I mean? It's just really fucking weird, man. But I mean, yeah, those businesses have always been fucking weird, so whatever.
There was a stand-up special that came up in my YouTube feed. Ari Fleischer, it's just called Jew.
Ari Shaffir,
thank you. Did you watch that one?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
That's fucking hilarious. I love that. Yeah, and I love the, you know, I don't, the guy might be problematic. I know he hangs out with Rogan and shit.
He got canceled. He's a comedian who has made his name by saying the most outlandish shit ever. He's like an old school internet troll. Right. So whenever something happens in the media that everybody's sad about, he will definitely say something insensitive until he made a joke about Kobe and his daughter dying in the helicopter, like the day it happened. And when that happened, this dude got fucking beyond canceled. So this special was actually going to come out like when Kobe died, mm-hmm. but basically everyone dropped it. Like nobody, like, we're not putting your fucking special out on our thing. So he never shot it, but apparently he just continued to work the material this whole time. And then finally he decided he got, you know, enough sauce to put it up on YouTube and just see how much money he can make off YouTube. So, but you could tell, because I thought it was really good.
It looked great, and I thought it was hilarious and insightful, and I really, really enjoyed it. But also I was like, but I don't know if I can even tell anybody about this, because I don't want to get canceled, because he got canceled for a thing I didn't even know he did. But yeah, I thought that was a great special, and I've seen a few other specials that they promoted on YouTube, but that was easily the best that I've seen. And if that's a way that you can make money, then okay, power to them. It's funny, because I haven't watched a lot of the Netflix specials, and most ones I have watched haven't been particularly good, and I found that one so much better. And especially, they were talking all that shit about that Kiwi lesbian chick, and we got Hannah Gadsby. We got maybe like 10 minutes of that shit. We just got fucking bored, man. I don't know why that chick was getting so much hype, but that shit was not funny.
So you said you saw it on Netflix?
The Hannah Gadsby one was on Netflix. The Ari Shaffir one was on YouTube. And again, okay, they've got the
I thought you would say you found it on Netflix. I was YouTube, it picked up because it did so well on YouTube.
Right. The whole point is that you got YouTube hyping up their comedy specials, and most of the comedy specials I've seen on YouTube haven't really been that good. And then my fucking algorithm just pops up that Ari Shaffir guy, and that shit was fucking excellent.
It's Ari Shaffir. He's a fucking wild dude. And I've heard him on tons of different podcasts, but I never actually really seen his stand-up. But when this one came out, it was like literally like, dude, everyone has canceled this guy.
Yeah.
He's got nowhere else to go. And I'd heard some complimentary things about special, so I'm like, fuck, I'm putting this shit on. And I'm with you. I thought it was fucking hilarious. I thought it was fantastic. Joe List, who's an actor / comedian, has a couple sets up or a couple of specials up on YouTube that are both fucking hilarious too. But yeah, man, stand-up comedy is kind of a weird spot right now too. Nobody knows where the fuck. It's like Comedy Central's dead as fucking dead.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all like, I gotta do skits on YouTube or on Instagram. And I mean, even Saturday Night Live is fucking dead because you can't say anything controversial or they kick you off of Saturday Night Live. So it's like, well, the fucking people are fucking lames. So it's people doing.
But I don't want to be the old man shouting at clouds. SNL used to be so much better. I haven't enjoyed SNL for a long time, but I do still watch all the clips on the internet. I don't see that they really changed that much, you know. And I think that sometimes they are trying to push the boundaries, particularly Che and Jost on the Weekend Update. They go out of their way to be controversial, just to, you know, TV broadcast TV controversial mind. But I don't see that they've changed anything about what they would normally do on Saturday Night Live. It's about the same middling shit that it's been for decades.
What I'm saying though is it's not like that's where you needed to go.
Oh sure, yeah. Like, as far as like Star Maker and shit,
right?
Yeah,
there's like no desire to be on the cast. And then you go through, you hear the stories about the writers' room of Saturday Night Live, and you have to be able to get the show turned around in like 3 or 4 days. You got the crazy host who doesn't want to, you know, memorize lines or participate in any of the skits. Like, people don't even fuck with that shit anymore.
Right.
they do skits on Instagram, yeah, or on TikTok, and then eventually Netflix pays them to do a special, and it's just like it's like bizarre how they do it now. But
I noticed like a lot of the cast, they had retention because of COVID. Like, everybody was afraid to go someplace else, so they just stayed there for several years more than they had intended to because of COVID. And then as soon as COVID started to wrap up, they were just like, peace out, bye. You know, they had a huge exodus in the last season because people had other options all of a sudden.
Mm. Did you ever watch Mo?
I watched about an episode and a half, and we just weren't into it. Really? I see what you saw.
Wednesday on the 3 o'clock Million Dollar Weird Week.
Apollo 11 has conquered the moon. Where to now in space? Beyond the moon for sure. How? Journey to the far side of the sun brings you the answer of the future today. Now, man challenges the universe revealing the amazing things that happen to men who discover a new planet.
For every person on one planet, there is a double on the other.
See astronauts train to points almost beyond human endurance, for feats almost beyond human capacity. Watch, intrigued by Earth nations for domination of outer space. The astounding chronicle of man's challenge to the universe and the galaxy's fight for survival. Now take the journey to the far side of the sun. You'll never be the same.
Journey to the Far Side of the Sun, Wednesdays, 3 o'clock, Million Dollar Weird Movie on 13.
But yes. I mean, we're in a weird place right now because like all these movies keep bombing. And I think part of it is people don't want to go to the theater anymore. I very rarely want to go to the theater because most people that are still going to the theater are people who don't have nice home systems and they don't fucking know how to act right. I think I told you guys about when we went to go see one of the recent movies and there were like a couple of teeny boppers, I guess, or maybe 20 somethings who were clearly pouring spirits into cups and drinking hard liquor and then talking at full volume at the screen to the point where we fucking had to move to another set of seats. You know, it's just, and that's that experience happens way too much for movies nowadays. And it's not the cost. I heard people bitch about the cost, but it's like you got all these movies coming out where they're filmed with the COVID restrictions, and so that the je ne sais quoi, that quality of a bunch of people getting together and making a movie, isn't there because everything is like as few people as possible in a room at any given time because of the COVID restrictions. But also, like, these movies cost ridiculous amounts of money because they assume they're all going to make $1 billion, so they throw all this money at the CGI guys, but it's the same guys, and so they're all spread thin working on shit like, you know, it used to be we're going to have our sequences where we've got Iron Man flying and stuff, and then the rest of the time we're going to have them talking and stuff and we won't need CGI. And now every scene has to have some kind of CGI shit in it. And they're like, we're going to do a whole chunk of this movie. We're going to de-age Harrison Ford 40 years, you know, throw a bunny at the problem and then have him run around as a cartoon. And I'm watching the trailers and there's like that bit where the CGI Indy is grabbing a card or something and you can just see this rubber thing flipping around. It's like, that's not why anybody went to go see those movies. And then you look at something like Top Gun that makes all that money, it's because you know these are real people in real planes flying, you're seeing the actual G-force hitting them and stuff. And even when they're isolated, they're supposed to be isolated because this guy's in this plane and that guy's in that plane, so it makes sense that they're not in the same room talking to each other and doing shit like they normally would be. I think that people are just sensing the dehumanization. The scripts are so fucking pussified now, they're all fucking product. Everybody's trying to make something where they're not offending anybody and they're multi-vector and all this kind of stuff, even worse than they used to do, because they don't want any edges on this thing. They want to sand everything down because they're going to spend all these millions of dollars on the CGI that's unnecessary and looks terrible and all the people are overworked. And then on top of that, they're going to throw $100+ million advertising budget on this shit. And then when it doesn't make $1 billion, it's an automatic failure. It's like, I know that Black Adam didn't do great and it wasn't a great movie and everything, but how is it possible that thing made like at least $500 million and it's still like an abject failure? You know, like, then why did you spend so much money on that? Why wasn't more of this shit just some simple green screen and stuff? Why did everything have to be fucking crafted in CGI as realistic as we possibly could so that the movie costs $250 million? Then don't spend $250 million. You know, these guys, they're just, the investors just keep thinking that there's, it's a money press, and it's obviously not anymore. And I think they're going to wreck the whole industry. And then I think streaming has also wrecked everything too, because all these people wanted to be the new Netflix, not realizing the Netflix was always just burning through investor money anyway. They never made money themselves, and all these other guys threw all this money to be the next Netflix and nobody's seeing any money return on it. It's like they're literally so greedy and so presumptuous that it's almost at the threat of wiping out, like, what movie studio isn't in trouble right now? People have been talking about Disney having trouble with, like, the Pixar failures and shit. It's like, well, if fucking Disney isn't Teflon, and then they're talking about Paramount collapsing, they're talking about all these other studios, like, this is the entire paradigm shift where, like, all of our media companies are in deep trouble. Like, how the fuck does that happen? What are you doing wrong?
Well, like, I think you touched on a good one there, and a part of the streaming companies being greedy is that now they have this fucking platform and you're like, okay, well, we have to have original content. And they're like, well, what's the most expensive thing we're working on? The shit we put in the movie theater. And you're like, okay, well, we got to get that onto streaming as quickly as possible. So then people are like, then I ain't going to the fucking movies. I don't need to go to the movies because in 3 fucking weeks, this shit is going to be streaming and I can just sit in my house and fucking watch it because I'm already paying for Disney Plus. I'm not going to pay for you twice, or I am not paying for Disney Plus and I'm getting that shit for free by taking somebody else's password. So why would I go pay $100 for 4 people to go watch it at a movie theater when I'm going to get it in 3 goddamn weeks? Yeah. You know what I mean?
And there's, like, a lot of predictions about the password sharing with Netflix hurting them, but actually it did help their bottom line a little bit, in part because these streamers don't cost enough money for what they're spending to get get you to watch them, but you're also training people to be used to spending $10 or a little bit more a month to have access to these libraries, and there's no money in it. So that's why everything's getting pushed to the fucking commercial supported streamers, because you can't make money. Like, I look at cable and how many people had cable, and I know how much money we spend on cable because we actually still have it, in part because by having cable, we have access to the streamers that are connected to it, and we watch the shows on the streamers rather than the cable, and we're just basically paying the cable company to forward that money to the streamers. But everything's going to fucking Freevee and Tubi and Pluto and all this other kind of shit, because throwing commercials is the only way any of this shit's making any fucking money.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I don't know what's going to happen with it, but all I know is, you know, look, it was kind of a perfect storm. Like, these Marvel movies got shittier, right? They got shitty. They are worse. And it happened at the same time as COVID. At the same time, they're launching Disney Plus and all these streaming services. And it just was all one huge hit. And people just are changing habits. You got a habit change, right? Before, we were in the habit of, we need to go see a movie opening weekend. And the habit got broken. And now we're like, now we don't need to go opening weekend. And then after a couple weeks, and the commercial, because the commercial cycles are still front loaded, then the commercials are gone. If you're even watching commercials.
Like, how many people are even watching? Like, you're seeing the commercials on YouTube, because that's what the kids are watching, is fucking YouTube, streaming, you know, free content. And they're skipping after 15 seconds.
Now, after the ads and commercials stop, now you've forgotten the movie exists and it's just gone. So you've either forgotten the movie exists, or you're waiting for it to come in on streaming anyway, or you're one of the few people who still like to go to a movie theater and watch something in the movie theater. And it's just this weird, like, quadruple whammy to just obliterate the movie. Or you think all these movies suck and you'd rather just watch some shitty reality TV at home. Because when you got writer strikes, they're pumping reality TV left and right? Because that was the previous writer strike, was the one that gave birth to a lot of this reality TV. And now people are like, I'd rather watch reality TV than any of this stuff to begin with. So they've just been paring down this audience until COVID hit. And then it was like a quadruple whammy when COVID hit. And it's just people. And so it's just hilarious that it still costs. And it costs more than ever to create these things. And they're going to make less than ever. Which is another whammy on top of it, right? I mean, it's just, and then you got politics involved, where people are not like, Disney has a political stance, so I can't go see your movies because of a political reason. And it's a whole other whammy that hit, you know. It's crazy, the disruption that's occurring
That's a good point too, is like, all these people who were talking about the failure of Elemental and how none of the Pixar movies have done that great since they stopped being Disney Plus exclusives, that they never should have been in the first place. But part of it is that Elemental was about immigration. It's about the immigrant experience and integrating into society. And you wouldn't have any idea of that, because all the commercials were like, look, fire and water people, wee! They didn't tell you the story, and so they didn't have anything to sell you on, because it just looks like some fucking cartoon Elementals. What is that to me? What is that? Why should I care about that? At least cars are cars, you know? What do I give a shit about fucking water, right? And it's like, well, because you were afraid that people were getting mad at you for talking about the immigrant experience, so you just didn't talk about it. So nobody had any reason to go see your movie, because they didn't even know what the fuck it's about. To them, it doesn't mean anything. It's not about anything besides another cartoon.
Or people are just assuming it's probably got some underlying thing. Like, you know what? It's probably going to piss me off, right? Because of Buzz Lightyear had two lesbians kissing. You know what? They probably got. So then, you know what I mean? It's just a whole bunch of shit. And I don't know I don't know what the endgame. I don't know what sports are going through a similar thing right now too, where nobody's watching their shit on TV, but streaming numbers are through the fucking roof. But they don't let you stream games. Like, you can't watch, because they have these regional sports networks. So you've got a Fox Sports Houston and a Fox Sports Dallas and a Fox Sports San Diego. And they've got, you know, they have contracts where they have to air the games. So you can't just watch it online. But everybody's like, we just want to watch this shit online. That's why, you know, the World Series last year, they were talking about how, like, it was a ratings failure. But then they also say it was also the most, like, streamed World Series of all time. And it's like, okay, well, what happens when you add those two things together? It ends up being, like, insanely good ratings, right? Because you actually watch those games online and not have them be blocked. Whereas I'm here in Houston, I can't watch Astros games on TV or on my phone. They're blocked because I'm in Houston, and they want to force me to sign up for Comcast to watch this regional sports network. So now they're in this whole, like, but they're locked into these contracts, and they don't know what to do. None of these guys, they're all a bunch of fucking old white-haired white guys or women, and they don't have any clue. They don't know what are people fucking watching? How are they wanting to consume this stuff? And they don't know how to do it, you know? So you have somebody who posts highlights on their Twitter account, and they fucking report the account and get them suspended. And it's like, but that was exposure for
you. Like at what point do you start to lose your audience because people just give up on sports, especially local sports?
Right. And it's like, you know, it's this inability. It's, you know, it's sort of like an allegory for the government, where it's just the government can't do this move and pivot that we want want it to because of all the bureaucracy. I think that's built into all of these companies too. And they're trying to do these moves and pivots, but they just can't move fast enough for this old SAG, you know, Screen Actors Guild machine that is still trying to exist. You know what I mean? And it's fighting, you know, it just can't do it. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what they're supposed to do. You know, I have no clue. I don't know how you make these movies cost less.
Well, I mean,
it seems like they're cost cutting.
Don't have everything be fucking CGI. Actually have people write the shit. Have people who write the stuff, write things that people are actually going to want to hear people say on the screen. You know, you don't just look like battle, look, traveling through time, you know, all nothing but cliches and disassociation from anything relating to the human experience. Shit, I lost what I was going to say though. Fuck.
Well, because you used to be able to have, right? So you would have like Paramount, right? And Paramount would have like their couple big, heavy budget, heavy capital movies that would come out during summer, or one during Christmas, one during summer. And the rest of the time, they're making like normal fucking movies. And those movies, people would sometimes would kind of go viral, mm-hmm. right? As one of his time, and they would get legs. They would actually make way more than its budget. Mm-hmm. Now it's the opposite. It's every movie has to be some giant CGI spectacle, and we'll sprinkle some low budget VHS style found footage horror movies in there. But they're just spending all this money on these CGI movies, and they're not just making regular ass movies anymore, mm-hmm. right? And I think in a way, the regular ass movies built up the anticipation for the big blockbuster. And now that everything is trying to be a blockbuster, people just don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. But now but that just means the base budget for every movie is fucking $300 million, yeah. whether it's going to survive or not. Whereas before, your low budget Sleepless in Seattle, if it bombed, you didn't lose any money because it didn't cost a lot of money, right? And now every bomb hits that much harder because you spent so much money on it, because it's quote unquote easier to make those big budget movies, yeah. right? You know what I mean? I think the lead time is shorter, where it's like, well, we got to go find a city to quarantine off to make our big budget Outbreak movie. And now it's like, well, now we just make the city in CGI. So we got to make 15 Biohazard movies in a year. And it's like, okay. You know what yeah. I mean? It's just, I think the scales are all fucked up. So when the movies bomb, they're bombing harder. Yeah. They're losing way more money, but that means they have to risk more. It's like, you know, they're almost like, oh, here's one. This one's like they're gambling at,
yeah.
right? They got to keep gambling for the $1 billion movie, except in Vegas, you look around and you're like, how the fuck did they pay for this awesome casino? They paid for it with your fucking money, because you're always going to lose. You're going to lose rolling that high. You're going to win the one time, and you're gonna get the fucking high. So the MCU first couple phases is the high, and now you're a gambling addict, and you have to keep making, you got to keep going for the $1 billion movie. And that's just not how this shit mm-hmm. works. The $1 billion movie is a rare thing, and yeah, you got hot at the craps table that one time and got a bunch of $1 billion movies, and now you're crapping out like you used to, and you're forgetting that, which is why you didn't make a million of these movies every single year, right? That's why there was the one Pixar movie a year was a big mm-hmm. deal, you know what I mean? And now you're chugging a fucking Pixar movie out every 30 minutes, you know? And so I don't know, maybe that's...
Well, and part of what made the Pixar movie so successful is because it was going to take so long to do all the CGI and stuff, they would just canvas that story over and over again until they had it fucking airtight. And you can't do that when you're getting a movie out every quarter. But I really think, you know, the WGA strike isn't going away anytime soon. And then SAG is almost certainly going to end up joining them, right? And I think the big sticking point is they want to see the books of the streamers. And I think what's happened is you got guys like Zaslav, who's making $250 million a year as a CEO, right? And then you go and you look in the books and you realize this shit ain't making any fucking money. And you're paying this guy $250 million a year, and he's not adding value to your company. And he's like, relatively speaking, one of the success stories in terms of like at least streamlining costs, you know, getting stuff back in the black again. But you've got all these other guys that are running all these other companies, and all of them are still losing money, but they're getting all this huge amounts of cash. Well, they're going to do everything they're possible to get one more year out, get one more bonus period out before they get uncovered. But I feel like it's almost like a fucking goddamn Al Capone situation, where it's like they're going to come to the books and they're going to finally realize, holy shit, this whole thing is a fucking pyramid scheme, and these are the only guys who are making any money, and all the rest of us are fucked. And like you look at companies like Disney, Warner Brothers Discovery, where despite all the stuff that he's done, the fucking share price is still in the fucking toilet, and everybody just keeps waiting for the worm to turn on all these other streaming and media conglomerates and stuff. And I think it's because somewhere in their hearts, they know too, this shit isn't making us any money. And everybody's just watching shit on fucking YouTube and stuff. And like, nobody wants to face the reality of what the fuck are we going to do now? Like, I'm playing with all this funny money, and there's not new money coming in, you know? I think it's almost like they're embezzling, quasi embezzling, because because they're like taking the money while it's there before everybody realizes it's fucking sham. The other thing is Tom Cruise was trying to get IMAX screens. He did everything he possibly could to get more IMAX screens for his upcoming Mission Impossible. And particularly, he was trying to get screens away from Oppenheimer, right? But because of how IMAX works and because of IMAX's, they're independent. They don't have to answer to anybody. There's a certain amount of screens. They own all the screens. And if IMAX has a relationship with a director the way they have with Christopher Nolan, if they've promised him the screens, they're not going to do anything about it. There's really no way to leverage against them. And because it's an expensive process and you pay extra for that, and there are a limited number of screens that you have access to, it's still special to see something in IMAX. And a lot of the money from Top Gun was from the IMAX screens, because people not only wanted to see those jets and all that G-force, they wanted to see it in the biggest motherfucking screen possible. They wanted to be as close to actual size of the jet as possible on the screen. And Tom Cruise knows that that's where a lot of that money came from, a disproportionate amount of money for specifically Top Gun. So he knows that when this Mission Impossible comes out, it's going to hurt him, and it's going to hurt that movie, because they're not going to be able to make that money off the IMAX screens. And I think that you're at a point now, they've tried to do the 4D thing. I don't think that's really working, but IMAX and just the sheer bigness to have something so fucking big that nobody can rival that experience in home, that's going to be more important, because there's no other way that they're competing with your home experience. You know, they just can't. So it's so much more essential to the up pricing. And because nobody wants to pay for, you know, $15 bucket of popcorn and shit, the only way they can really make money is to get them in the IMAX. And there's just not a lot of them. And there's not a way for them to make a whole bunch more in short order because of the process and what that entails. Also, the fact that I think IMAX movies are projected correctly. And one problem they've had throughout the cinema experience, especially since digital came in, is there none of the theaters hire actual projectors anymore. It's all fucking pimply kids who are just flipping a switch. And so if things aren't quite properly focused, things aren't properly aligned for the digital experience, you're just getting a subpar visual on your screen being projected, where at home you're actually literally getting a better cinematic experience than you can get at the cinema, because there's no fucking projectionist. So IMAX is some of the only movies that are out there that are consistently being projected correctly, so you can get the full quality of that experience.
I'm glad you brought Oppenheimer up, because to me, Oppenheimer is like, although I'm sure, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, it's got a $100 million budget, and I'm sure the advertising budget is huge, but $100 million is not a lot nowadays. Mm. So if Oppenheimer does really, really well, so now you had Top Gun Maverick that didn't have a gigantic budget and did really, really well, and then Oppenheimer, if it can do really, really well, as much as I don't like Kevin Nolan, I love Kevin Nolan. As much as I don't like Christopher Nolan, these are the kind of movies that are old school movies, right? Like, this is old school. It's goddamn near a documentary, right? It's got a few big time stars. It's got a big director, but it's telling you like of a historical event, okay? Thanos isn't going to come out and fight Oppenheimer over the splitting an atom wreck. It's just not going to happen. You're going to probably have one giant special effect in the whole movie, maybe a couple. The rest of it's going to be like a Schindler's List, or you know what I'm saying? That kind of a movie. These movies need to do well again to get the heroin needle of superhero movies out of these companies' fucking arms, and Fast and the Furious movies, okay?
Which, my understanding is Fast X underperformed as well.
Good. They need to bomb. Oppenheimer has to do well. That's what can fix the shit and get it back to normal. So, honestly, fuck it. I'm going to go see Oppenheimer and fuck theater now. And, just because of what I just
said. And honestly, I've not watched a lot of IMAX movies, so I'd be interested in seeing this in IMAX while it has the screens. But I'm not a Christopher Nolan fan at all. I'll defend Snyder more than I'll defend Nolan, because I just find his stuff rather tedious, especially all the fucking mumble mouth shit. If I can't hear the words that were written into the screenplay, then I'm not going to have a great interest in your movie. But I was watching the trailer of it the last time I went to the movie theater, and the most recent trailer was really good and really grabbed me by my man stuff, where it's like, this is grown people shit. They're talking about shit that changed the motherfucking world. And there was just such tension. And imagine being in that position. Imagine being Oppenheimer. You're racing against the Nazis to make sure that they don't get the fucking nuke. You get the nuke, and then you realize, holy shit, I got the nuke. There are nukes now. Oh, fuck. I'm really curious about that movie. And the reason why I saw that trailer and saw it in the theater was because the last movie I saw was Asteroid City, a Wes Anderson movie, which is also made for grown motherfucking people. And we wanted to see that movie with other grown-ups and a grown-up environment, and we thoroughly enjoyed that experience. And it was the best opening weekend Wes Anderson's ever had. These movies don't cost a lot of money. It only made, like, I think $9 million or so, but because it doesn't cost a ton of fucking money, you're in the black almost immediately. And again, if it's his biggest opening ever, that means all those other movies that profited, it just blows them out of the water, right? And it's a significant gain gain and almost no loss risk, like you said, make me some more grown-up people movies then. Make me a movie that I'm not going to have to worry about the kids with the fucking booze talking to the screen off to the right of me, because they're not going to see Astro City and they're not going to see fucking Oppenheimer. So great, I'm going to be in a place with grown people watching grown shit. That's what I want to see anyway. Give me that, you know?
And you know what? Here's what I want to see. I want to see them say, go see Oppenheimer in IMAX. Go see Top Gun Maverick in IMAX. And do you want to know why? Because it's not going to be streaming until 2024, period. It's going to Blu-ray first, and then it's not going on Netflix or fucking Hulu. You ain't seeing it until 2024. Go see fucking Oppenheimer, and we're going to put it on the biggest screen you've ever seen in your life, and the sound is going to rattle your teeth out. Come see it.
And also, and like you said,
probably learn something.
It's a good movie by an auteur. It's not some fucking machine line bullshit, same old, nothing ever actually changes bullshit. This is about shit that actually literally changed the motherfucking world and is still concerned today.
Go out to a nice restaurant, have a nice grown-up meal, go see Oppenheimer, and then talk about it with whoever you went and saw it with. Go see Oppenheimer, opens, you know, July 21st at theaters near you. Like, that should be the fuck preview. Not, go get some popcorn in your commemorative Shazam 2 rock fucking, you know.
Asteroid City, we went because it opened wide the weekend before Indiana Jones was coming out. And I love Indiana Jones. I was trying to watch all the young Indiana Jones movies and eventually do a podcast about Indiana Jones. And it just hasn't happened yet, in part because I'm still afraid to watch Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. But anyway, you know, being an Indiana Jones fan, they were having the promotions. And while we were at the stand getting the popcorn, because my girlfriend will always get the popcorn before the movie, it's part of the enjoyment of any movie for her. The reason why she watched so many movies that she didn't want to see with me was because there was going to be popcorn involved. So we're out there, there's got a gold bucket embossed related to the Indiana Jones movie, but it's all gold. And then you've also got the cup with the fedora, and then there's a hole in the fedora and you drink out of the cup with the fedora on top. And I didn't want to have to deal with that shit before the movie, so we went to go see the movie and then we're coming out afterwards. And I still remembered about that because I told Paquita, you know, we'll go see the movie and then afterwards I'll come and I'll maybe buy one of those things. And as I'm walking out, it's like, I'm sorry, but a cup with a fedora on it is stupid. I'm sorry, but an all gold embossed popcorn bucket isn't doing anything for me because it's all gold. I can't see anything. And also, even if I did see something, I'm seeing the Fleabag chick and ancient Harrison Ford. I don't want to see him in his, like, you know, as his mortality is creeping in, right? So I didn't buy either of those things because they were dumb. They just, like,
hilariously, wait, hold on. Hilariously, the Crystal Skull would have been an awesome popcorn bucket giveaway.
Certainly Dan Aykroyd thought so, and I can get a Crystal Skull at any liquor store I want to.
That's right. Anyway, hey, that was two podcasts.
Yeah, I think so.
Us ranting on the fucking movie industry.
Yeah, that's not a stinger.
You saw Asteroid City. I want to fucking see Asteroid City.
I mean, but here's the thing. Put it this way. For starters, what Wes Anderson movies have you seen, though?
Let me see. Give me a list of Wes Anderson movies. Grand Budapest Hotel, I've seen. Fucking internet is so stupid. You're like, you know what I'm asking. Just show me the fucking list. God damn it. Oh, by the way,
I think I was on my phone and I was having to search our podcast and I saw that AI-generated description when I was trying to find the link on Google. And it's like, oh my God, why are you still doing this? Don't you know? Haven't you figured out already this is bad? But they're still doing it.
You're wrong.
Inaccurate descriptions. Like, thankfully, I don't ever read that shit anymore, but I'm really learning, like training myself, just don't read it because it's stupid. Just look for the link, click on the link, and then you're at the thing you want to see. Don't read the ridiculous description.
Okay, probably I've seen Rushmore, The Royal Tenenbaums, and Grand Budapest Hotel.
I was somebody who, I saw those movies before Paquita, and of course, that's like her favorite filmmaker, essentially. And I found it to be too twee. I found it just to be a little too precious. I wasn't really into it, but because she watched them often enough, and I got some of that stuff from osmosis, and I saw a number of them in the actual theater, and particularly Grand Budapest Hotel, I thought is just magnificent. I love that movie. That was so awesome. Such a great flick. And so it helped. But we saw Fantastic Mr. Fox theatrically as well, and that's also an excellent movie. And again, stop motion. How often do you get the chance to even see that kind of movie anymore? And so it made me reevaluate Anderson and appreciate him more. I definitely enjoyed Asteroid City. I agree with a lot of people who said that it's among his best movies, but it's also like the most stereotypical perfectly comically Wes Anderson movie of any of them, I would say. And it's like, there's all these people that got so their panties in a bunch over the CGI. What if Wes Anderson did Star Wars? What if Wes Anderson did it, right? And it's like, you can defend him as like, he has deeper themes. He's not just his aesthetic. But watching the movie is like, wow, this is deep into self-parody at this point. It's like, this is exactly the shit that they do in those CGI movies. And these people need to calm down about calling out his very stylistic choices. It's just like talking shit about like 80s and 90s Martin Scorsese, where somebody is invariably going to fucking lose their shit and commit a gross act of violence. He did that. There's a reason why they were making fun of that and saying, oh, it's a Martin Scorsese film, that's going to happen. He stopped doing that with shit like The Aviator, and that's when everybody stopped seeing Martin Scorsese movies, because we all wanted to see Joe Pesci lose his shit and start killing somebody, right? Pistol whip, you know, we want to see Ray Liotta pistol whip somebody, you know? That's what we went for. That's part of the package until he's doing his, you know, fancy pants movies now that he tries to do with Leo and stuff. That's part of what's bringing you in, is the awareness that you're going to get the style and the aesthetic, and he just leans super hard into it. And I was joking with Paquita about, well, he did that same thing in Royal Tenenbaums, he did that same thing in this movie, it's kind of like Darjeeling Limited in this one, and it's an extremely Wes Anderson movie, like excessively so almost, but it's still very entertaining. And in particular, there's one thing that he does that you could kind of hand wave a little bit, but he actually allows himself to go to a place that he really hasn't gone in any of the other movies. And Paquita was laughing almost hysterically for like 2 minutes straight over this particular turn in the movie, and she absolutely adored it. So I sense that he's willing to go different places and do a little bit of different stuff than what he's already done, but it's also a whole lot of the exact stuff that he's already done. But it still works. It works great. Like, we were both a little concerned about, we didn't want Tom Hanks joining the crew, because he has a tendency to use the same actors over and over again, and we're there for Tom Hanks, right? But in the role that he's in, the performance he gave, is like, well, no, he completely fits into this particular scenario. He's the exact right person to play this type of character. Good job. Kudos, you know?
Right.
But yeah, if I can get all past right. the Tom what Hanks of it, then that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's like a weird endorsement. Yeah, I want to go see that in Oppenheimer. We'll see if it actually happens, but I don't know.
Well, the thing is, too, one thing, Asteroid City, and I had this complaint, I don't know if I was on a social media or just text or what, but it's like, Asteroid City is like almost entirely appropriate for kids, except for one brief second of full frontal nudity from Scarlett Johansson, presumably, unless it's a body double.
Fucking pardon?
Because I'm like, you know, because they keep like hinting at something's going to happen, and then you actually see the towel drop, like, oh shit, that's her bush. I did not expect to see her bush in the fucking Wes Anderson movie. And again, it may be a body double, but regardless, like, this movie could have been for kids, except for this. I mean, there might be some F-bombs or something in there, but it's like, this was fairly appropriate, except that, you know, no kid would want to actually sit through a Wes Anderson movie, but it was colorful, and they had some cool stuff in there. I could see it being okay for kids. Bush! Okay, cool. I'm not displeased.
That I'm actually, my wife, huge fan of Scarlett Johansson. I'm actually might get her in the movie theater for that shit. So we'll give it a shot.
Oh, so I remember with Pussycat, her crossover freebie was always Alyssa Milano. So is ScarJo her, like, if I ever wanted to experiment, that's the one I'm going to experiment with?
She forgot that ScarJo was in probably.
She would just have the performance of ScarJo, regardless of her boobies showing up.
All of the above. She's down. Oh, man. I like do not want to go to sleep 4 o'clock. I was up until like four last night. After you left, I just started fucking with the receiver, and then I was searching online for different ways to run the same set of speakers through two different receivers without blowing everything up. And I'm just like, you know what? I think I went downstairs, got in bed, and then got up and came back up in the garage and started fucking around with shit. I can't sleep when she's not, because she was like, hey, time to go to sleep. And then I'll be like, okay, I guess you're right. Yeah, I just don't go to sleep.
I'm with you on this. For some reason, I've had this sort of mania over the weekend where I just won't go to sleep properly. And so like all this weekend, it's been like 5 o'clock in the morning before I'm finally like looking at going to sleep. And like, especially Friday, I laid down at 5 and my brain was still going to like 5:30. You know, I don't know what the fuck it is. Maybe it's something in the air or some shit, but yeah, I'm right there with you. I just could not go to sleep properly.
Yeah. And I was like, and I was fine today too. I was never like dragging.
Well, I had to take a nap today. Fine. And the rest of the weekend I was fine. But today like, no, I'm taking a nap. I'm tired.
I had a brief moment. So we went to the, that Westin, Katy Antique Mall place, because I was going to see if they had any record deals. So I just walked around, told the kids they could buy some Pokemon cards. So they were like, okay, cool. We could sit here and we just stand here while you're looking at records, because we know the very end
we'll get Pokemon cards. I've known people that were into records, and they're all people that I'm friendly with, I like, or was friendly with at one time, and just like, you know, time and distance like thwarts that. And it always drove me nuts, because I'd find these little caches of records like, oh, so-and-so might be into that. my relationship with this person is not such that I'm going to send them a text to ask if they want me to pick up the fucking thrift store record and mail it to them in the fucking northeast country part of the country and shit. So it's like, at least if I come across something like that, I could be like, hey, you want, you interested in this? I finally got somebody where if I stumble upon a good, cool record, I could be like, you want a record?
The answer is hell yeah. Yes, I do. Yeah, if you guys end up in a fucking, I don't even know where you would end up. Like, I need to swing by I'm curious what Dimensions.
They've got plenty of records.
Now,
I don't know what kind of prices they're charging, they but records. They've got records for sure.
It's Dimensions, probably a lot. But no, like today I picked up the Cars Candio, Panorama, which are not my two favorite Cars albums. I've already got my two favorite Cars albums. But the dude was like, he like let him go for like $5 a pop. I got Purple Rain. I got Rio, Duran Duran, and I got Face Value, Phil Collins for free. Because like the jacket and cover are a little water damaged.
Which
on the
one's
bottom.
One?
And I was like, hey man, this one's kind of...
I don't remember that one.
In the Air Tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all you need to have.
So, and I was like, hey, man, you know, this jacket's kind of fucked up. And he was like, I tell you what, just take it. I was like, okay, because I already had a couple other albums picked out. So he's like, just, it's free. Take it. I'm like, okay, cool. And then I got Schools Out by Alice Cooper, which really, Schools Out is the only song in that album that I really, really like. But the fucking record jacket is so cool because it's like a school desk that opens up. And when it opens up, the record's in there and then a bunch of fucking graffiti on the inside of the desk. It's really cool. And it was like $7. I'm like, yeah, I'll get that. No,
is Easy
problem.
Lover on that Phil Collins album?
Let me see. Hold on 1 second. It is In the Air Tonight. This Must Be Love. Behind the Lines. What the fuck is this? The Pool in Looking? I can't even read that because the it's in like cursive on the back. I missed again. Which one did you say?
I was saying Easy Lover. So wait, what is he here on this one then?
No.
Is this the follow-up to Sussudio?
81.
81, okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense because the one I'm thinking of, I think, because I remember I became aware of Phil Collins around 83 and he had a string of hits in that time period. And of course, Sussudio comes along, which for all I know, it's the same album and I'm not realizing the timeline. And Sussudio, of course, is explosive and makes him like the biggest artist in the world at that particular point in time. But like in the Air Tonight was one of those songs that almost like came back. Like, I don't even know if they did a music video for it in 81. I don't think so. I think the music video is probably from the mid 80s and like he came back to it and it became like this big hit again because he became so huge they were going into the catalog. You know what I mean? So I was just trying to remember like the timeline on stuff. But yeah, 81 would have definitely been too early for me to be aware of him and it would have been too late for him to have the hits that I associate with him from the 83-84 period.
It's so weird that you go, I became aware of Phil Collins in 1983. What a fucking bizarre sentence.
Well, I mean, these people didn't mean anything. So like some of these, like, again, I've talked about how a lot of the stuff I listened to was oldies and country music and stuff. So there, you know, there was a partition there where I can tell you when somebody who became really famous would cross my path. You know, so it's like a weird thing. Like all those 70s acts, I didn't hear any of those guys because they didn't play 70s music on when I was listening to oldies stuff, and I stopped listening to oldies stuff before it cycled in. So there's a lot of these guys like the Eagles that like I'm certainly familiar with them and I have a sense of roughly when I became aware of them, but like they weren't a part of my childhood at all. And they're not a huge part of the rest of my life because they sort of missed that opportunity to have an impact on me.
Mm.
Like, cause the thing is like my father was into all that 70s shit and I didn't have a relationship with my father until well into the 90s where like I would be around him, but I'd be going to see my brother and we'd be hanging out and that old guy would be around doing fucked up dumb bullshit. So like, I'm not listening to his music anymore and I absolutely have to. If we're driving around town and he's servicing movie theaters and stuff and I'm in the cab with him, that's when I'm hearing fucking James Gang and shit. Otherwise, that's not something in my sphere at all.
James Gang, 100% a staple of vinyl bins, along with Barbara fucking Streisand. How many albums did this fucking hooker put out, dude? It is like the Barbara Streisand and Willie Nelson sections in Houston are fucking endless. And Elvis, Barbara Streisand, and then Jefferson Starship. How many fucking albums did Jefferson Starship put? Am I seeing the same three albums over and over and over again? I do not.
If it's Starship, I think so, because they were Jefferson Airplane when they were doing the classic 60s stuff, and then they turned into Jefferson Starship, I think, in the 80s. And so, like, for me, again, their familiarity for me comes from, like, We Built This City, you know, the really embarrassing shit. Yep. And that's, I'm assuming, what's on those records is you know, Never Gonna Stop Us Now and shit like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible. And then, like, Stuff You Actually Want is just gone. But the rest of this stuff is just permanent fucking filler in these boxes. It's outrageous. And just country artists you've never fucking heard of in your entire entire life. Just tons and tons and tons of them out here. You just have to sort through that shit, and then you'll find a Duran Duran Rio at the back of the D's, and you're like, oh, I'm glad I stuck with this box of horrible shit, because here's a Duran Duran.
Very much like you've been out of comics for so long that you haven't had to have that experience in a long ass time, I figure, and now it's like, oh shit, this is weirdly familiar to me, and I've never bought LPs before. What the fuck? Oh yeah, that's why.
Well, it's like I was telling you, the vinyl shop owners and runners are the same fucking comic book people. They're the exact same fucking people. Everything you ask of them is like, you're bothering me to do this shit. And I'm like, you had one customer in the last hour. Sorry I'm bothering you to give me a fucking price on this. Right. You know what I mean? It's the same fucking people. It's hilarious. But I can put a vinyl record on while I'm working during the day. I can't read a comic book while I'm working in the middle of the day. So unfortunately, that's the catch 22. In a lot of ways, I'd be rather reading a comic, but it doesn't jive with me sitting at home working on my computer. So.
Yeah, that's one of the things is like, we've been overstaffed for a while now, and we'll continue to be overstaffed for a while now. But I can't like, oh, okay, well, I'm self-directed and they're trusting me to actually find something beneficial to my organization to be doing and not fucking off. So I'm going to actually go and find myself some stupid busy work because I can't in good conscience just completely fuck off. Whereas if I'm doing like an assignment and there's a bunch of slack in that assignment, I'm just going to fucking do nothing but internet shit that whole time and only, you know, service when I actually have to, you know. But when it's completely self-directed and there's just nothing to do and I have to decide what I'm going to do for myself, I'm going to actually find something to do. And so that takes away a lot of my opportunities to, you know, fuck around that I normally would have. So it's weird. When there's less work, right, I'm doing more work because there's less work to be that's assigned to me that I have to do.
Yeah, it's just it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing. But, you know, it is what it is. Let me see. What else we'll talk about?
Things, I forgot. I was going to try to address with Fix It before. I'm still using pseudonyms just in case. I don't think I'm using any of this stuff. I just haven't turned off the record.
Mr. Fix?
I do still fully intend to do the Grimjack episode as close to the 1st of August as possible. And having read a good chunk of that material, it's pretty breezy like to get through, especially because since they were serialized. In the volume that you've got, the first volume, is nothing but backup features from Star Slayer and one issue where they join forces, and so it's an issue-length story. So because they're in installments, that's like really good bathroom reading. Like, you know, it's a five-pager or so, and then it's serialized, so you don't necessarily want to read it all in one sitting. You just go back and read a little bit more incrementally. So that's pretty easy for you to address. I'm doing a whole fuck ton of supplemental reading, but the actual trade should be pretty breezy for you.
Between the Pages blog, Billy Hines, who added stream of consciousness from the never shy Diablo Frank Canews, who wrote thanks rolled spine. I know this is going to be a great episode, especially with Frank's opinions being the main focus. Chris Dunford, Chris Lydon, Dear Watchers, a Comics Omniverse podcast, Derek WC, Ed Moore, Gregory Litchfield, Flandra, The Hammer Strikes, Random Geeky Stuff, History of Comics on Film, Iowa's Joe Is, Irredeemable Shad, Julia Raul Rainbow Edition, Keith G. Baker, King Dinosaur, Maxo, Mike at Send Aliens to Me, Randy Caldwell, Relatively Geeky Podcast, Resurrections, A Warlock and Thanos Podcast, Scott X, Superbound, Talk Nerdy to Me, and Wibbly Wobbly Dicey YC RPG Podcast.